Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 255 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, as you can imagine, Melanie and I are going to talk about the Texas A&M Alabama football game. She has some feelings and some thoughts about that. So exciting. And we're also going to talk about other football games. We're going to have side eyes. We're going to have ICUs. We're going to talk about some of my recent TikTok observations, just all manner of fun. If you get a chance and you would like to check out some of the things that we love and love to use, you can find those things on our Amazon shop. That's at amazon.com/shop/bigboo. It's all organized now, so you can shop by category. And as always, we're so glad that you're here with us. We hope you enjoy episode 255. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama. I nearly forgot my name for a minute.
She's a little excited.
I'm still a little amped up.
Okay, so y'all know exactly what we're about to talk about, but we wanted to just clarify something before we get going. So many of y'all, but really a lot of y'all, have been really kind and have messaged and asked if we would please do a bonus episode this week about the historic, unbelievable, exciting win of the Texas A&M Aggies over the Alabama Crimson Tide. But we're going to Nashville this week, so we had already scheduled this episode and a Patreon episode for the week. So here's what we did. We took the Patreon episode, we shifted our plan real quick, and we've recorded a whole long, detailed, hour-long deep dive into the game.
Yes, we did. It was glorious. It was one of my favorites. I needed it. It was cathartic for me to be able to just to reflect and to think. Like, I can't quit watching the videos. I can't quit looking on TexAgs. I can't quit talking loud is what I'm saying.
So we're going to talk about it now. We're just not going to talk about it for as long as we did on that Patreon episode. And we've got other things to cover. We've got other things we want to talk about in the regular episode. So
there's so much.
Hey, it's me taking a break to tell you about Rothy's. It is 2021, and with the year that we have had, nobody has time for uncomfortable shoes, and that's where Rothy's comes in. Rothy's surveyed thousands of customers, and the number one word used to describe their shoes is comfy. What more could you want from a pair of shoes? What makes them so good? Their unique seamless design is insanely comfortable the moment you put them on. Their fan favorite styles are sustainably made with materials like plastic water bottles. They're fully machine washable and available in tons of shapes, styles, and colors, so you can always find the right one for you. You can start fall off on the right foot with comfortable bestsellers like flats, loafers, and sneakers from Rothy's. Y'all, they have the cutest loafers right now. I'm dying to get them. Right now I have the flats in green botanic camo, and they are so comfortable and they look so good on my feet, and they go with so many different outfits. They check all the boxes for me with shoes. As soon as I put them on, it was like Cinderella, a perfect fit. I couldn't believe how comfortable they were, even after walking all day long. Another major bonus, they're fully machine washable, so you simply toss them in the washing machine whenever they need a refresh. If you're interested in men's shoes, Rothy's has a newly launched men's shoe intentionally designed with an artisanal level of detail and created with nearly zero waste. They're durable, they're washable, and they're better for the planet. Plus, rigorous testing during R&D results in a perfect fit, wash after wash. To help you welcome fall season in style, Rothy's is doing something super special right now for our listeners. That's right, they gave us the chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners for a limited time. You can get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/bigboo. That's rothys.com/bigboo. Head to rothys.com/bigboo to find your new favorites today.
Okay, so a big week, a big weekend in the life of Melanie Schenkel and the Texas A&M Aggies.
It It was bar none. Number one, I'm going to say it's the best Aggie football game I've ever been to.
High praise.
In person, mm-hmm. The best one in all my years that I've ever been to. There were some Texas games, like when we played the Longhorns back when I was in college, that I loved those games and they were super fun. But like Kyle Field was like none other. Mm-hmm. The 12th man was on fire. Mm-hmm. They were so loud. I've never been more proud of our students. I mean, Gully kept saying, because we were sitting there and we had these phenomenal seats. I talked about this on Patreon that this listener, Lynn, gave us. So we had 50-yard line seats that were unbelievable. But Gully and I, every now and then, knowing our kids were over on that student side, and Gully would be like, look at them. Look at New Army. Look at them. Like we were... We were so happy. Mm-hmm. Like we were just, and just the fact that they had camped out all week, they never quit. Yeah. They never quit on their team. Their team didn't quit. They came back. I mean, I felt like there was so much, like this past week was like one of the first weeks ever I had to get off Tex-Ags because I was like, I can't deal with the gloom and doom. I can't deal with bashing these college kids who, you know, want to win. And so to see them come back and have this redemption and just, it was just glorious. I could not be happier for Zach Calzada. He had the game of his life.
He did.
I mean, golly. I mean, everybody, my favorite, Isaiah Spiller, just stepped up and was phenomenal and had just some incredible runs. The defense was lights out. I mean, they ran so many different, like, pass rush, like, where they would, like, mix it up, and Alabama never knew what was coming. And I think they had 4 sacks, which is the most that I think they've had, that Alabama's had all season. Mm-hmm, we had 4 mm-hmm. sacks in that game. I think we had like 9 hurry up tackles. I mean, it was glorious. It was just, it was a glorious day of football. The weather was great. Just, it was, I can't even talk about it. It was so good. It was so good. My heart is so full. And we had gone up. So Perry went up. We both went up on Friday and we went to Caroline's Texas barbecue class with her for ribs, ribs, ribs. Mm-hmm. Which was amazing. And then we went to the Texas Trophy Hunters Banquet. And then we went to Yell practice. We had VIP passes and got to be on the field. Listen, nobody drank the Aggie Kool-Aid more than Perry Shankle over the course of the weekend. I mean, he was the first one Saturday morning. He said, I rewatched the band marching into Yell practice. I think we're going to beat Alabama. He's like, we're going to win. And like, he came home early from the ranch so that he could watch the whole game on TV, which has never happened. So that tells you the level of how much he believed when he was like, I want to see this whole game. I mean, like, it was so good. And then, and really even beyond the game, like for Caroline to get to have that game as a student, I'm like, she'll remember that the rest of her life, mm-hmm. you know, like just, it was so good. But, we did that and the game was phenomenal and we celebrated after, and that was so fun. And then, Sunday morning I got up and I met Caroline at church. She's found a church that she really loves. And I will say that I sat there and like when we started singing like Sunday morning and just, I was like this, Lord, it's too much. Like if I die tonight, it's like just to see her, she's so happy. Mm-hmm. She's made the cutest, best, sweetest group of friends that we got to meet. The game, the whole thing. It was glorious. And so, but there was a moment, all I could think about when we, and you and I were texting and I was like, oh, we're ahead. We are currently beating Alabama, right. Which in that moment I thought, I'm going to rejoice. But all I could think, and this tells, is all I could think was at Rocky IV, when they start to take down Drago, the Russian, and he's like, he's not a machine. He's a man. He's not a machine. That was me.
You went through the full spectrum of human emotion, I feel like, Saturday night. There were highs, there were lows, but your optimism never wavered. I don't think your optimism ever wavered in this game.
It really didn't. And it was funny because just like last week when you texted when Mississippi State beat us and you said, I'm worried Calzada's about to really establish himself as the quarterback for the Aggies. Like in my heart, I just knew because I was there and you could feel the team chemistry and you could see what was happening. And I was like, that's not about to happen.
Okay.
Like I knew it. I was like, we're not coming back. But the same way I knew that, like I knew, I'm telling you, like I never, even when we fumbled, when the punt got fumbled and they recovered it and Alabama scored and they tied it up, I was like, we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
Like I just felt it. I was like, we're going to win this game. Like I knew it in my heart. I did.
Yeah. Well, I said this on Patreon, but when Alabama blocked the punt and scored, But then y'all came back and ran the kickoff back for a touchdown. That's when I thought, okay, Aggies are going to get it done. Aggies are going to get it done. Because that would have been just a gut punch, you know? I mean, it had to be, but somehow y'all responded. You answered.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was in that that last touchdown that y'all scored when Calzada went down. And they took him to the tent.
Listen, what did they do to him in that tent?
I don't know.
I'm going to tell you.
I don't know.
It didn't look good when he went down. It did not look good.
No.
And he went in that tent, and Jimbo followed him in there. And listen, I don't know what they did, but something, because he came out, and then his next play was, I think he rushed for like 15 yards on his next.
Well, it was not probably, and I think I texted you, it was just like 3 or 4 minutes later, and they said on the broadcast, they said, Calzada's coming back in. So, because I mean, like the way, because when he went down, Alex went, oh, it's his leg. Like, but the way it twisted, but he had whatever it was, he had worked some of it out by the time he walked to the tent. But even David was like, but are they carrying him or is he walking? Because it kind of looks like they're carrying him. And, but he got back out there and
he got back out there. And I'm going to tell you that the students all started chanting his name. Oh. I mean, they were all like chanting his name, which just made me cry. Cause I'm like, that kid has been through so much. Like he has been through the ringer. And one of the things Jimbo said is like, he told his kids, like, do not get on social media. Mm-hmm. Like, do not listen to any of this. I think he called it an abomination, which I appreciate. But he was like, get off social media. But I was like, that kid has been through so much. So then to hear 30,000, 40,000 students chanting his name, I was like, listen, he willed himself back on that field. And you know, grit, you know how much we love grit, some determination, some not quitting. And this team did not quit. And they could have said this season is lost. And now you think possibilities are endless. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. So it was a great game. It was, I mean, really just one for the ages and one that, I mean, just like I'll never forget where I was sitting when y'all went into 92 overtimes with LSU.
Yes.
I will always remember the where I was and how I watched this game against Alabama. It was incredible. And so we're all very, very happy for you. Even the people who listen to us who are Crimson Tide fans are very happy for you.
I know. I got the nicest messages. I got the nicest messages. And I just saw this tweet, which I think is so funny. And I have to read it and you have to follow it. Alabama lost to Texas A&M, who lost to Mississippi State, who lost to LSU, who lost to Auburn, who lost to Georgia, who beat Arkansas, but beat A&M, but lost to Ole Miss, who got blown out by Bama, who beat Florida, who lost to Kentucky, who beat LSU. The SEC is drunk this year. And I'm like, it's the truest.
It's the truest thing.
Yeah, none of it makes any sense.
Let's face it, taking trips to the post office is probably not how you want to spend your time. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer, send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com has saved businesses thousands of hours and tons of money. With Stamps.com, you get the services of the post office and UPS all in one place, plus big discounts on mailing and shipping rates.
Stamps.com brings the services of the Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. To me, it is a must-have for any business. It's so hard to keep everything organized, but whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out orders, or even a giant warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com helps you handle it all with ease. It has helped me so much because I'm always either needing to mail books to different people, and it eliminates the hassle. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. And with Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk. And with our promo code, BIGBOO, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BIGBOO. That's Stamps.com, promo code BIGBOO. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Okay, so there were other games this past weekend, even though
great games.
It was the best weekend of college football so far.
Yeah.
So we had all manner of exciting matchups, and I did not actually watch all of this game because of the way that my Saturday went. Uh-huh. But the Arkansas Ole Miss game also delivered.
Speaking of being drunk,
I mean,
that game was drunk and not on defense. I'll tell you that.
I mean, that game, I don't know if that game has ever been a defensive battle. It is just always just a shootout. And so back, forth. Uh-huh. I mean, that's just the way it went the whole time. And then at the end of the game, Arkansas scores with a literal second on the clock.
Yeah.
And they can tie it up if they kick the extra point, but they went for two. Yep. And they missed.
For two. I know. What do you think? What do you think?
I've gone, listen, in all my days of coaching, you know, I mean, I've gone back and forth about it because on one hand, here's what I understand. You're Arkansas on the road. Historically, that game goes until just 1,100 overtimes. I mean, I don't even, there was a game when Eli Manning was quarterback, I think that went into seven overtimes, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's never easy. So you may feel like your best shot at winning is just to go ahead and settle it. Plus, they had scored at will. You know, I mean, they just did the whole game. Arkansas had not struggled to score. So I can see where you think, I'm just going to put this one in the hands of my offense. They've been dependable, and we're going to go for two. But then there's that other part of me that's like, no, tie it up and let it play out, you know, like at least give yourself a shot to. But I think that's one of those decisions, like you could second guess it forever. You got to think that Sam Pittman did what he thought was the very best thing for his team to give his team the best shot to win. So,
I agree. I like the call. I mean, I think you're not playing for a national championship. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, I like the call. I don't know that I like the play call.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I like the boldness. I like going for the win. But I don't know that I like that particular play call because I felt like they could have scored there. But I did appreciate that our very favorite Lane Kiffin, after it was over, said, finally, we can have some popcorn. Which, listen, I like the self-deprecating. I'm a fan.
Well, and here's the other thing. Had the shoe been on Ole Miss's foot, do I think that Lane Kiffin would have gone for it? 100%.
Like 100%.
Like he'll go for it on fourth down, like on his own 15.
Yeah,
you know, like so
didn't he go for it like 4th and 11 against Bama last week?
Oh yeah,
I mean it was like some insane fourth down.
Oh yeah, so it was an amazing game, and it's hard for me sometimes, as much as I enjoy Lane Kiffin, the Rebels are not always an easy. Their victories are not always easy for me.
Yeah, I get it. But
I think they had a great environment. They had, they have a great quarterback. And Arkansas gave them everything they had. So,
yeah.
It just wasn't Arkansas's day.
It wasn't Arkansas's day. It was not Arkansas's day. I'm going to tell you whose day it also was not, was the Longhorns.
Right. Uh-huh. And I thought about you so many times as I watched this game play out.
Yeah.
Because I know, you've side-eyed OU a couple of times this season.
I have.
And didn't...
I'll be honest. I'm still... spoiler alert. I'm still side-eyeing. Still side-eyeing.
But I also know, if you have your druthers, you're probably going to go for the Sooners in this situation.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Issues with both teams, probably, but...
Yeah.
But whatever.
And, I mean... Yeah, I'm not a fan of either one, really. Mm-hmm. You know, like we've had our rivalries and our things in the past. I will say, like, the way it started, like the way the first half went, was exactly what I thought. I really thought Texas was going to come out, and I was like, they're going to win. They're going to win decisively. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I still think they're the better team.
Okay.
I do. I mean, and I don't say that with, somebody told me yesterday that she wanted to be happy for the Aggies, but I'm so mean about the Longhorns.
Aww.
And so I'm trying to be nicer. I don't want to be, it's a rivalry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really thought this is the way. I mean, I appreciated that Coach Sarkisian wore some pinstripe pants that matched, with a stripe that matched his wife. I appreciated the fashion statement. And I really expected Texas, and I thought second half they were going to blow it out. I was really shocked by the OU comeback.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, you know, OU changed up their quarterback. I can't remember who they put in, but they pulled Spencer Rattler and put in this other quarterback who had a phenomenal game. And so, you know, maybe that's the key for OU is they needed to put in a different quarterback. But I was shocked by that game. And it was funny because, you know, now I do have a softer spot because Retha, our beloved business coach, is a Longhorn.
Yes, she is.
And she and I were texting back and forth, and her husband is an OU fan.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a bet on the game. And so, you know, at halftime, she said, "We're no longer watching the game together," which I respect it. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever. And by the end of the game, I was texting her and said, if you need a place to stay, you're welcome to come stay with me. And she sent me a GIF of somebody packing a suitcase. Like it was.
Well, because now as a result of that game, what OU's sitting at what, 4? And
yeah.
The Longhorns are 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. And to their credit, the Sooners are 6-0. I mean, it may not be pretty, but they're getting it done.
They are. They found a way mm-hmm. to win. They found a way to win. Now, if I'm a predicting person, I'm going to say that I think Oklahoma State could beat them, and I think Baylor could beat them.
Okay.
So I'm just throwing that out there, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, you don't get to 6-0. Listen, I feel this. You don't get to 6-0 by accident. You got to have something going.
Well, and speaking of Iowa, Penn State, Iowa has a little something going.
Iowa is the number 2 team in the country.
Yes,
and I don't
are.
Think anybody saw that come in preseason.
Right. Right.
I mean, what on earth? Kudos to you, Iowa. Y'all really have, y'all have really pulled it together.
I think you need to push the applause button.
Okay, here I will. Hold on. Okay. Yay.
Yay.
Good job, Iowa. We see you. We see you. So, I did think today, though, I was like, this whole top 10 poll looks real different than what anybody would have predicted.
It looks
got Cincinnati at number 3.
Yes.
I'm like, what's going on? I mean, like, Alabama's down to 5.
And then
it's bizarre.
Listen, you've got both of your big Michigan schools in the top 10. Uh-huh. You got Michigan and Michigan State in the top 10. Michigan State, I'm always interested. But it does. It looks really different, and it does not look as dominated by the SEC as it has in years past, I will say.
Mm-hmm. No, it does not. It does not.
Y'all, for years, I have loved a good hidden object game. And as most of you know, earlier this year, I started playing a game called June's Journey. I love it so much. It is the perfect combination of a hidden object game, but also you've got other things going on because you have this island and you can develop your island and you can earn orchids, and it is the most relaxing, fun game. You play as June Parker, an amateur detective who is investigating a series of mysteries. June is on it. June is smart. And the game is full of twists and turns around every corner. You get to put your powers of observation to the test. You get to sharpen your sleuthing skills. And who doesn't like to sharpen their sleuthing skills? And you get to relish the thrill of solving the case. I am not ashamed to say I'm on level 182. I am. I've made some really good progress with my island. I'm waiting now to earn enough compasses to expand another parcel. This will all make sense to you when you play. And in addition to playing as June, you feel like you get to know a little bit of June's extended family and friends. I've mentioned before on the podcast her niece Virginia. Virginia's a little mischievous. There are just all kinds of ways that this game pulls you in and makes you want to play more and more. So whether you're craving a good mystery or you just need to get away for a little while, June's Journey is the perfect game for you. You can sit back, relax, and let your inner Sherlock escape to the glamorous Roaring Twenties. It doesn't even bother me, y'all, about the not having air conditioning part. And you'll search for hidden clues to solve mystery after mystery across thousands of vivid scenes. The artwork in this game is gorgeous. It makes it so interesting as you move from scene to scene because the artwork is so vivid. And then, with new chapters every week, there's always a new case waiting to be cracked. June's Journey is so fun to play, to relax, to wind down. I love to play in the den off of our kitchen at night after I get supper cooked. And the way the game is designed, there's always enough new stuff to kind of keep you going. It never gets boring. There's always a different place to go, something else to check on. and such a good way to give your brain a break, but stay engaged with something at the end of the day. So if you're ready to awaken your inner detective, download June's Journey for free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Okay, and then we also had the Georgia-Auburn game that was really a decisive Georgia win. Their defense continues to be dominant.
Yes, it does.
And they get it done on offense, too. So,
yeah, Georgia looks good. I mean, I think Georgia is, I mean, I said this last week, but I mean, I think they are the definitive number one team. No question. I mean, I don't see who's going to beat them. I mean, it'll be really interesting because I still think it's probably going to end up being Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship. And it'll be real interesting to see how that plays out because I think the Aggies showed, I mean, a really good defense could beat Alabama, you know, but it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
And Georgia plays Kentucky this coming up weekend, right?
Oh, yes. Speaking of, listen, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I see you, Kentucky. I see you, Mark Stoops.
Yeah, I see you, Mark Stoops. There.
Uh-huh. That's gonna be a good game. I'm going to be real interested to see how that plays out because Kentucky is really, like I saw somebody had a shirt that says, well, I guess now we're a football school.
I saw that on Twitter. I know. Yeah. That's so fun. So fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, so even though you've been all up in your joy, your zeal, your emotional high after the A&M win, I'm guessing you still have some side eyes. I'm guessing.
I have a couple of side eyes. Okay. I have a couple of side eyes. I'm going to say, and it was tough this week because I feel like you didn't have, I mean, you had the A&M, and I mean, am I going to give Alabama a side eye? I mean, not really.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're still Alabama. So I think anybody's kidding themselves if they think this is the beginning of the end for Alabama. I mean, the last time they lost to, I think A&M, they went on to win the national championship that year. And I think same with the year they lost to Ole Miss. So listen, they're going to figure it out. So I had to struggle. So like I said, one of them, I think I'm still, I mean, OU, a little bit of a side eye. I don't know that you're number four, but I appreciate that you pulled out the win. Mm-hmm. But then I'm also going to give Texas a side eye.
Okay.
Because Texas, show up for the second half. Like, where were you? What happened? I don't understand. Like, where were they? So that's how I feel. And then really my only other one, and this just kind of feels like a lame one, like I'm throwing out there, but BYU lost week to, I think, Boise State, and they dropped to number 19, but they had been number 10. And BYU, you should never have been number 10. You shouldn't have. I mean, I'm sorry. But it is the way it is. I just call it like I said. Right. I'm not saying.
If anybody has ever wondered why we say Melanie has an 8-wing on the Enneagram, I give you the side eyes. Exhibit A.
I'm going to tell you that my 8-wing came out hard during that A&M Alabama game because I'm going to tell you the number of times that maybe I yelled at Nick Saban to sit down were a lot. And listen, I have the greatest respect for Nick Saban. He's the greatest that's ever done the job, but you just get so fired up, you know? It's like football is one of the places where my 8 comes out. So
I get it.
Like your sister texted me that flags were flying. She drove through Tuscaloosa. Flags were flying at half mast. There was gloom and despair hanging in the air. I mean, just, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think this year, I have to say though, like looking at the AP, if you look at the top 12 right now, to me, this is, you know, I'm an advocate for an expanded playoff, but I'm like, if there's ever been a year, because I want to see a Cincinnati play a Georgia. I want to see, can a Penn State, you know, Oklahoma or vice versa. Like where, I mean, it's such a different set of teams than a lot of them that we've seen that I'm like, if there's ever, and a lot of, you know, some of it'll be settled. Michigan and Ohio State will play each other before the season's out.
Right.
You're going to have Alabama and Georgia will probably play each other. But it's just, to me, it's such a fascinating Iowa at number two. It's, I don't know. I would just love to see all these teams get a chance to play. Cause
I would too.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting.
Okay, do you have any ICUs this week? Any? I mean, I know probably one.
I mean, let me say, Texas A&M, I see you. I see that grit. Mm-hmm. I see that heart. I see that you said we've lost two, but we're going to pull it together. I see that you came together as a team. Mm-hmm. I could not be more proud of you. I could not be more proud.
It's so good.
It's so good. And then I have to say my other one goes to Kentucky. I mean, who I've already said, but Kentucky. Mm-hmm. 6-0. I mean, you beat Florida. Go. Listen. And I don't, Georgia's kind of been my team this year. Like I've really liked seeing them. I'd like to see Kirby Smart get it done. If it's not going to be the Aggies, I kind of like seeing Georgia up there, but this Saturday is going to be a good game. So I feel like,
yeah,
I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah. Somebody said on Twitter yesterday, like, did we ever think at the beginning of the season that we'd be like, oh, I cannot wait for the Kentucky Georgia game, but here we are. Here we are.
It's the way the season has gone. It's a weird season.
Yeah. I would say I would give an ICU to Iowa. I mean, I think that initially 100%. they were down in the game against Penn State and I was kind of like, eh, but there's something there for sure. Mm-hmm. And so there you go.
Good job, Iowa.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And I can even begrudgingly say I see you, Matt Corral, at Ole Miss. Like you can do the applause. It's fine. I can
here.
But he is in command of that football team when he's on the field.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, he is. And I like to see a quarterback who's, and you can just tell, like, when they're leading the team, that makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's me, taking a quick break to tell you about Noom. When it comes to losing weight, there's so much pressure out there to label foods good or bad, but that just creates unnecessary dilemmas. And I'll be honest with y'all, this weekend, I had the choice to eat healthy or to basically live on cookies and cheese, and I chose cookies and cheese. But what I love about Noom is that it's here to change how we see food with a psychology-based approach that looks at what you eat, but also how you eat. And instead of making you feel guilt or regret, which I could feel both of, Noom empowers you to keep going and teaches you how to make some easy changes without feeling deprived. There can be so much pressure to change to fit ourselves into other people's expectations, but it's so freeing to just find what works for you. Not everybody wants to be on a strict diet. I know I don't. I need my cheat days. I need days that I can eat cookies and cheese. Let me live. So instead of trying to cram my life into someone else's idea of health, try Noom. Noom uses a psychology-based approach to find a healthier balance that's moldable to your life, and it's sustainable. I started Noom because I felt like my weight just creeped up on me over quarantine. I just turned 50, the old metabolism isn't what she used to be, and I just wanted to get things under control before it became an insurmountable task. And Noom has helped me make better choices when I shop, to think more about what I'm craving and why, and maybe, most importantly, to quit viewing foods as bad. I have managed to lose some weight, but without feeling like I'm depriving myself or not eating the things I want to eat, it's sustainable because it helps you make better choices without changing your whole lifestyle. I love the Noom app because it's a daily check-in and it gives me helpful tips to remind me that eating grapes is maybe better than a handful of crackers with hummus. It makes it easy to identify green, yellow, and red foods and figure out how to incorporate them into my daily diet without going crazy. It's so flexible for my lifestyle and makes it easy to log your progress. It's encouraging without making me feel guilty, which is what I need. You don't need rules to lose weight, just the knowledge and wisdom to help you build smarter, more sustainable habits, and that is what Noom does. 80% of Noom users finish the program, and over 60% will stick with their goals for at least a year. With Noom, taking care of your health is empowering instead of stress-inducing. Start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/BigBoo. That's Noom.com/BigBoo.
My other takeaway from the weekend, other than that, of course, the huge A&M game, I've really been into TikTok lately. And there is this thing on TikTok. I think about you every time I see it. And, you know, on your For You page, it just feeds you stuff. And then you're constantly, like, helping the algorithm figure you out by what you're watching.
Yes, yes.
And at some point, I don't know. I watch a lot of restocking videos. I watch a lot of cooking videos. Those seem to be the primary things that I see. But every once in a while, it'll feed me like this weird stream of stuff, I guess, to see if I'll bite. And This past week, the thing that it kept putting in my feed were these videos of people who were filming themselves eating their meals. And listen,
okay.
I, No, like I know it's essentially the same thing as if you go to lunch with somebody. And I mean, people will say like, hey, let's eat lunch. And they're sitting in their cars or at a desk or wherever. And they take a bite out of whatever their sandwich or their burger is. And they turn it around to the camera so you can see it. I don't want to see that. I don't want to.
No, I don't really even want to see your lunch if I'm eating lunch with you. Like,
but you have other places to look, right? Where you don't have to watch it.
Yeah.
But I've thought about it a lot because I'm like, is this like a post quarantine thing? Because in quarantine, people like they couldn't go to lunch with their coworkers and stuff like that. So they started eating lunch with people on TikTok. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. That's very interesting. I know. But I agree. I'm not. No. So you need to get that off your algorithm.
I try not to watch them. I try to just scroll right past them. I'm getting all the restocking things I can handle right now with people, you know, putting their bell peppers in acrylic containers and putting their kids' go-gurts, you know, in acrylic containers and getting everything all organized. Even putting their coffee creamer, like taking whatever their Starbucks coffee creamer, whatever they have, and putting it in another container that looks like the rest of the containers. It's a whole deal. So anyway,
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. But it's the whole thing. I thought about that the other day because I looked in my refrigerator and I thought, this is really a sad situation. There's no rhyme or reason to where anything is or where it goes or where I've put stuff, you know, it's just kind of where it fits.
I know. For the most part. And I really like Alex has been so busy. I was kind of at a point where I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try to cook two suppers a week. That's really all that anybody's here for, you know? And I don't even know if I did that last week. I mean, we'll just make do kind of with whatever is around.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the other day, I thought pretty much what I'm buying right now is just cheese. I just buy cheese.
Yes.
And I take the cheese.
Yeah.
I'll make somebody a quesadilla, you know? Yeah. Or I'll make me some eggs and put some cheese in the eggs. But pretty much my primary grocery list is cheese. However, my friend Amy told me this past week that there are these chicken patties that you can get at Aldi. Now, we have an Aldi really close to our house and I never go. I just don't think
I've never been.
I don't think about it. And I kind of have my standard grocery run that I do at other stores, but she was like, there are these chicken patties at Aldi that you can buy. And she sent me a picture of the thing. And I think they kind of went viral maybe a few months ago, people making them on, I'm sure, TikTok. But she said, you put them in your air fryer for like 4 minutes on, I can't remember the temperature, but 4 minutes, flip them and then cook them for 4 more minutes. And she said, get some buns. And if you put pickles on them, they really do kind of taste like Chick-fil-A. And I was immediately intrigued.
Yeah.
So I went to Aldi. I got the chicken patties. I have to say, they're not bad. So, yeah, I mean, I've done them a couple of times, once for lunch and then once for supper. And they cook really quickly. It's not exactly like Chick-fil-A, but it's a good frozen piece of chicken, you know, if you need a meal real fast. So,
I mean, I tend to like a frozen piece of chicken better than a fresh piece of chicken.
I'm not shocked by that at all.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. But I will tell you, you know what I made this week, speaking of chicken, is I made, it was from the Define Dish. And it was her, what did she call it? Hold on, I want to get the name right. The Define Dish, it was a chicken. Gully had made it. And she said it was good. Now Gully does like chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean anything, but it was a Define Dish, pot roast chicken.
I saw this recipe somewhere.
Yes. And so I think she had posted it on Instagram. Oh, cause you know why? Cause Lucky Peacock posted about it the same night. She and I made it on the same night.
Gotcha.
But it's like, it's kind of like how you do a roast, but you do it with chicken, but you pan fry the chicken or you sear it kind of so it's real brown and crispy, like with the skin on, and you make it with chicken thighs. And so I made it thinking that I knew Perry would like it. And I thought, and I'll just eat the potatoes and the carrots. I don't really care. But I'm going to tell you, it was not bad. I told Gully that it's in this sauce that's really good because it's a little tomatoey and tangy.
Okay.
It's like an unexpected thing, but it was funny because I told Gully, I said, my problem is I keep cooking chicken dishes wanting it to not taste like chicken.
Right. Right.
You know, and then you eat it and you're like, well, that's chicken, you know, but
As it turned out, the chicken was chicken. Mm-hmm.
The chicken was very chickeny, mm-hmm. but this actually was really good. It, I have to say, like, I wouldn't eat it leftover because I can't.
Chicken.
But fresh, I was like, okay, I can do this. It was good.
So how much did you eat of it? How much did you eat of that chicken thigh?
I ate maybe half.
Okay.
I ate maybe half. I just cut some of the crispier pieces off, you know, where it felt like it was really seared. Mm-hmm. And then I handled my raw chicken with tongs. And so that helped that situation. Mm-hmm. And plus, since you did it with the skin on, it was like, you don't have to worry about a skin situation.
Have you ever done the chicken sausage from Trader Joe's? The chicken sausage with jalapenos? How would you feel about that? Would you be opposed or would you be okay? Cause it's the chicken's in a different form.
I don't know. I'm really okay. conflicted about chicken right now.
It's fine. Listen, you get to have your feelings about chicken.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. They eat bugs. I don't know. I have a lot of conflicting, but
I'm going to take that as a no on the chicken sausage is what I'm going to do.
I think sausage in general is an iffy proposition. If you really stop to think about it, mm-hmm. you know? And so then when you add in the chicken component, I'm like, I don't know. Okay. I don't want to ruin anybody, but what's in that? You know what? I need to say one thing because I need to document it on this podcast real fast. The one thing that has taken place that I told you I went and did this morning, and I just want to mention it because my face is currently still numb, but yet very much still in pain, uh-huh. is I went and got microneedling done on my face today.
I'm so happy for you. I really am.
Yeah. Well, it felt right, but I'm going to tell you that when Perry comes home this afternoon, he's going to be real scared because my face is just as red as a tomato. So
what made you move from, because you were doing the microneedling thing on your own, right?
And I did for a long time and then I quit because then I read that really sometimes that's really not good for you to do on your own because you're not getting deep enough to make a difference. And
that kind of gave me chills.
I know. It's like me with the chicken. So anyway, I have this new esthetician that I've been going to. And she was like, you know, it would make a huge difference as if we did microneedling. And I'm going to tell you that we did my whole face and my neck.
Wow.
To stimulate collagen production. So she said it takes about 6 weeks to really start to see a difference. So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. So just stay tuned. But just because I'm always talking about beauty stuff, I just want to say stay tuned. But if you think I'm going to be posting any selfies over the next like 3 days, no, I am not.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't mind a private one, but that's, you know, I'd like to see what's going on.
I'll send you one.
So on that note, are you ready for five favorites?
I am ready for five favorites.
Here's my first one is a sweatshirt that I ordered from Amazon. It's called the Morden Miss Loose Sweatshirt. I don't know if it was supposed to be Modern Miss and the two letters got trans. I don't know. It's fine.
That's a good theory.
But it's Morden Miss. And now I will say these sweatshirts right now, for whatever reason, you can only get them in large and extra large. I don't know what's happening with the smaller sizes, but it is the dreamiest fabric. Like, it's so soft and it's thin, but it's warm and it's perfect for this time of year. And I also like the way it's in the picture, it looks really, really, really long. It's not that long. But it's long enough for sure. Like, it's a great legging sweatshirt. I like the way it's cut, but I really love the fabric so much so that I got it in gray. And then after I wore it and just the softness of it, I ordered the black, which is back ordered for a little bit, but I'm willing to wait. It's good.
That's a great one. Listen, love that.
The second one is, I don't know why I have a tendency to use things in my kitchen far past what would maybe be wise, but I get real attached like to a saucepan, you know, like I have memories with it. I'm connected to it. Maybe it's like my whole, your thing where you think about whether or not something has felt left out.
Yeah, that's right.
I hate to get rid of that kind of stuff, but I have known for a while, like it was time to replace my nonstick pan. So I ordered it's a tefal and it's a 12 inch. It's bigger than what I had, nonstick pan. It is so great. I love it. I use it every day. It cleans like a dream because you can essentially just like wipe it out and just do a tiny little bit of detergent and wash it. It's got a cover. It's so great. Like, cause I, you know, I love eggs. So it's great for cooking eggs, but it's also great for cooking anything. And because it's wider, it's not necessarily tall, but it's really wide. You can get spaghetti sauce in there if you want to make a batch of spaghetti sauce or whatever. But it's a really great pan for not a ton of money. So
okay, love that. Okay.
The third thing is another TikTok phenomenon.
Of course,
there is a girl, a young woman, whatever, named Emily Mirico, who has made this dish. One time on TikTok, she had leftover salmon. I don't know how you feel about salmon. How do you feel about salmon?
No, I could do salmon. It's not my favorite of the fish because, you know, it's a little fishy.
Yeah, it is fishy.
But I'll eat it. If it's a good salmon recipe, I'm not opposed to it.
So she took her leftover salmon and she took leftover rice. She reheated it and then she just doctored it with, she used soy sauce and sriracha. And then you won't like this part, but something called Kewpie mayonnaise, which I don't know about that, but it's and then avocado. She mixed everything together. She put avocado on the top of it. And anyway, it looks delicious. But what's been so fun. Oh, and then she had the seaweed stuff. So you could use that. It was kind of like you were making a deconstructed sushi roll.
Okay.
And so, again, my For You page has been filled to the brim with people who are also making that recipe. Like, everybody's trying that recipe. And it does look delicious. So I have salmon. Now, I'm not going to make it this week because I'm not going to be home much. But next week, I'm going to make salmon and I'm going to try it.
Okay. I can't wait to hear that. Sounds good.
Yeah. I never cook salmon. I just don't think about it a lot. But but anyway, I'm going to give it a try.
Okay.
The next thing is something that I don't know why I have such nostalgia for this particular clothing item, but it's somehow tied in to like New Year's Eve in 1990 or something. I don't know when I wore, I wore a complete sweater outfit, top and bottom sweater fabric, but these are women's mid-rise wide leg sweater pants at Target. And they're just, the colors are so good. They're super comfy. You could dress them up, or you could get a top that matches and wear it kind of like, you know, a dress down sort of elevated sweatsuit situation.
Yeah.
You could do sneakers. You could do booties. I think they're so cute. And the teal ones especially, I think, are so great. And the color's so fun. I don't, you know, I think you can get away with one really bold clothing item at a time. You know, can't do more than one. You can get away with one. And those teal pants, those teal sweater pants, I think would be fantastic this fall. But anyway.
They look dreamy.
Yeah. So I think probably it would be wise to size down. Sweater stuff gets stretchy, you know. And
yeah, it does.
And it'll bag out on you fast. So I would size down. But I think that's a great little fall fun fashion item. And then the last thing is my unexpected love, which is the air fryer that David got me for my birthday this year.
Oh, tell us more. I've been dying to know about this.
I didn't know if I was going to like it. You know, like I don't like a kitchen gadget. I sort of feel like we've had that figured out for a long time in terms of what's timeless and true. But I do really like it. And I think probably one reason why I like it so much is because schedule-wise, we are just not in a predictable place, especially with Alex. Like, he's just, he's in and out and back and forth. And sometimes I think he's going to be here for supper, but he's not here for supper. And it's just a really easy way. It's like having a tiny little countertop convection oven, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's just easy to fix stuff really quickly. And so when I cook salmon, apparently, it does a beautiful job with salmon when you cook it in the air fryer. I'm going to try it in the air fryer.
Okay.
But I really like it. And I'm so surprised that I like it. And I'm not even mad that it's on my countertop. And I don't like stuff on my countertop. So I don't know. It just enables you to do some quick things that are really good. But like stuff that I like roasted vegetables. You know, I love to cook those in the oven, but I can do them even faster in the air fryer. So I think it's going to be a really good thing too when Alex is gone next year and it's just David and me. And
yeah,
it's a good way to not cook a ton of food. So,
okay. That's a good endorsement. That's making me rethink my decision to get one. Maybe I need one.
I think it depends on what you like to make. And so,
yeah.
Because I love to roast vegetables, I love to do like sheet pan kind of dinners, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it works with all of that. And so, and then even with those chicken patties from Aldi, you know, takes 8 minutes total and they're really crispy and nothing's greasy. I like it. So, and so I'll link to it, the one I got, because it's $30 off right now on Amazon. Oh. So I don't know if somebody wants to Christmas shop, but have at
it. Okay. I discovered last week what I really like to make is call and make takeout plans is what I really like to do. That was my new, and we ate out because it was Perry's birthday last week too. So we ate out a couple of different times, but I kept telling him, I said, see how really, I said, it's cheaper for the two of us just go out to eat
for
than
sure.
It almost is for me to buy groceries. It's almost cheaper. So, but when I got home last night after being in College Station all weekend, he was like, do we have, and I was like, we have nothing. Cause I haven't ordered groceries in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because I know it's crazy. It's so weird. But like when I don't, because I didn't cook at all last week. And then, but I was like, oh, I got to do a big old grocery order today because we're out of everything.
Yeah. I really have just been getting milk, stuff for Alex's lunch, and cheese. Mm-hmm. That's really, I mean,
well,
and you know, then I'll get a pack of ground chuck or I don't know. We just don't, I don't think our days of me fixing like big family suppers are over. Right now, as long as we're in football season, it's just it's not the most practical thing.
It's
so we've done a lot of make and do, a lot of just kind of putting something together. I did get at Aldi, they had this you know, I like stuff with a lot of seeds in it.
Yeah.
And they had this thin, kind of like their version of Dave's Killer Bread, but it's thin bread and the slices are maybe like half the size of Dave's Killer Bread. Just if you want something a little bready, but you don't want, you know, a big, huge sandwich or whatever.
Okay.
And so I got that. That's been great for like making avocado toast or that. Cause listen, that's, if I want lunch, that's a delightful lunch, some avocado toast.
Yeah.
So it's been good for that kind of stuff. I don't know. I feel like this is all going to look really different over the course of the next year.
Yeah, for sure.
As you can attest. So.
Yeah. Yeah, really will. So, all right, everybody.
Well, go Ags. Gig 'em.
Gig 'em.
As you
gig
say.
Ags. Mm-hmm. Listen, pray for your bulldog. Let's just.
Oh, if we could just form a prayer chain is what I'll say. If we could just. Listen.
It'll all be fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll all be fine. Saban's got 5 days to cool down. It'll be fine.
Yeah. It's going to be great. But thanks, God, y'all, for listening. And we'll be back next week. We have our live show outside of Nashville this coming up weekend. So we'll have all sorts of info about our time together in Nashville, I bet.
Yep, we will. Because it'll be a good time.
We'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
All right. Bye, everybody.